The following cast contains rude, crude, and disgusting language. You can leave now, but I wouldn't.
No. Ladies and gentlemen. Folks.
Welcome to Heavy Meta, your source for magic news, entertainment, and comedy.
What is up, you foul-mouthed little heathens? I'm Kevin Metal.
I'm Matty Studios.
You're listening to Heavy Meta.
Yeehaw, people. Man, we are here and this show is jam-packed to the tits, folks. All right, we have got with us, of course, MTGO Ferret. He is our man on the inside, giving us the MTGO finance perspective, as well as some other very interesting topics. Say hello, my friend.
Hey, guys, what's up?
All right, so we are going to jump right in, because, of course, something broke last night. Yeah, whatever.
And it wasn't my internet this time.
Yeah. Oh, fuck. Everyone cross your fingers that we don't lose the internet. Yeah, okay. Okay, so if everyone doesn't know, we'll start the show off quickly with hot topic number one. Patrick Chapin wrote an article. You can go read it on 5forflores.com, which I don't know. Why is it on there and not on Star City Games? Very bizarre. But anyways, I think there's something going on there. Maybe he's got a new book deal or something. But essentially, I'll give you the five-second version. He wrote an article on swearing and on some of the wrong terms used in the community and how words have power and, you know, words like bleep shouldn't be used. But it's interesting. We're going to start right off very quickly with some feedback and see what everyone thinks. So my initial reaction is, you know, he looked like he was a guy who was a kid. He did some bad things. I didn't even know he did jail time, but apparently he did.
That totally changes my opinion on that guy altogether.
There you go, right?
Heavy, you didn't know that he did jail time?
I didn't know. When I read it, I was like,
okay, yeah, well, apparently that was all drug-related, but, you know, he's gotten past that. And far as I've heard, he's actually not allowed in Japan due to it.
Well, just like Heavy's not allowed in Canada.
Not in Canada!
So back on track. So he basically makes a point that in his younger days, he used certain words like rape during an MTG broadcast, and he was told that words have power. You know, he was brought aside, and he argued back and said, you don't know what you're talking about. You know, it's just a term. It means that, you know, the guy's winning in the game. And he was given some wisdom that, you know, words have power, and the older you'll get, you'll realize that, you know, when you're in front of a professional audience in a multi-million-dollar company, that what you say is impacting people, regardless of your opinion of what the word is to you. So do I think it's right? Do I think it's wrong? I think it's an opinion piece. I have to agree, the more I get into podcasting and the more I get into, not necessarily wanting to suck Wizard's dick or anything, but I want to produce a quality show, and I realize that you can't swear every 50 seconds or 5 seconds.
Well, see, that isn't what the fuck I got.
I can't. Yeah, I can.
Okay. Cool. Well, hold on. You guys, hold on. You can jump in. So my opinion, this is just my opinion. I'll be the straight guy in this one. So I think he has legitimate points. I will also say that there are times when those words have meaning and have power and should be used. And I will also comment that this community, and actually I just think society in general, is way too fucking picky about what everyone is constantly saying. So I understand that a professional broadcaster needs to maintain standards. I agree with him. But I also think that there are times when people are being way too suck babies and need to just grow up. And that's my opinion.
Okay, I can give you that, Maddie, but here's actually what I got from the article. And unfortunately, I don't know why so many people are getting so ass-bent over this whole thing. But
because it's the magic community, that's why.
Well, I understand that. But basically, what I got out of the whole article was that Chapin is saying that you can affect your local social groups, that you can affect your community. It doesn't mean that our community has to be a bunch of fucking 12-year-olds saying you're going to rape somebody. Like fucking first-person shooter games.
But we're not.
You hear
that's
that shit all
understand.
The time all over them.
But we're
and
not.
And that's what he's trying. The problem is because how many times have we been hearing about, like, the SCG event or,
Ugh.
Fucking, the chat even got shut down on SCG because too many little ass were just, spouting bullshit off. And there really has no place for it in that kind of community, in that kind of setting.
So what it comes down to, what it comes down to is that you can say fuck and cunt and rape, but you gotta do it eloquently. So that you don't look like an asshole while you're doing it.
Well, is that what he's saying, or is Kevin's like, I don't know what he's fucking saying.
I don't know what the fuck he's saying.
I mean, here's the thing. If you're Patrick Chapin, then you are held to standards. Just like, in my opinion, Bobby Bonds is held to standards, just like Michael Jackson was probably held to standards, and they all failed. So you're in the public spotlight. I get it. You should be a role model,
Not necessarily.
They fail, right? Right, because society puts unrealistic expectations on people, and we would rather not put the responsibility on ourselves. So it's easier to say, hey, everyone, don't say all these bad words, and let's all be nice. Rather.
KYT reference?
That was not a KYT reference at all.
That guy say fuck lots of times.
But if it was, it would be like, hey, everybody, just be nice. So, no, seriously, we can all whine and say, hey, let's bring the standard of the community up to a certain level, but that's unrealistic, and frankly, I think it takes power away from certain arguments, right? So I agree, words have power. If you use certain words, there's power there. But to ban them outright, I think is wrong, because sometimes I want to invoke that power. I want to invoke a visceral response, right?
Yeah.
Is it appropriate to say it?
Maddie, here's the same response. Here's the same thing, though. I might be half your size, but if I'm sitting next to you and I hear you utter the word raping somebody next to the context of a girl, and I see her face like just absolutely drop, your ass is getting hit.
Yeah, but I would agree. I would say hit me because that's stupid. Why would I do that?
That's see, the problem. There's one step out there that do that.
Yes, but okay.
No, I totally get that. There's one step before that. That's when somebody because granted that exact situation. There's a lot of times shit like that happens, and it's completely unintentional because we are so loose with using the word rape or whatever the word might be. But like that situation you're talking about exactly that happens. You don't necessarily have to hit the dude yet. And of course, this is coming from me. I like hitting people, but. You don't have to hit the guy quite yet. You say, hey, motherfucker, and you use a different bad word that's not going to offend her. You say, hey, dude, watch your fucking mouth. And if that guy's just like, oh, dude, I didn't even realize that. I'm sorry. Ma'am, I'm sorry, whatever the case may be. And he's like, oh, shit, I was just hanging out with my buddies, said the word rape, and that offended her. I didn't mean to do that.
Kevin,
I'm sorry. That's fine, but if the response is anything more like, I'll say whatever the fuck I want to, then you hit him.
Okay, but here you brought up a unique point. I'm in a movie theater, or if I'm in, let's just say, real life, of course, then the guy's not going to say that, because the threat of physical violence is real. But I think what he's getting at is, online, or anywhere where you're hidden, right, and you're playing Keyboard Hero, you have no fear of physical violence, so then words are used too literally, or they're used too freely, and people don't associate the proper weight with them. And I've always used to say, right? Like, hey, if you can't say it to my face, then it's inappropriate to say on Twitter, or maybe it's inappropriate to say somewhere else, unless you want to provoke that response. So,
Exactly. Nobody here is saying use the same fucking kind of phrases and stuff you would with your grandmother. That we're not even trying to go there.
My grandmother was a salty mother, man.
you still get my point, though.
Listen, my grandmother grew up in the 30s, man. That woman went through shit. She was the toughest motherfucker you've ever seen. She would just, what the fuck's wrong with that guy? Oh, she was a salty bastard, man.
She taught Maddie the word fuck.
She did. She did. She taught me a lot of bad things. So, I don't know. I mean, is there – a lot of shows seem to think they're going to make a whole show out of this topic. I think – what the fuck else is there to say? It is what it is, man. Patrick Chapin, you wrote an article on swearing. Congrats. I don't think that's that needed.
I cuss a lot. I enjoy doing it. I there's two sides to that. Like, I mean, obviously, you guys know me enough to know, like, I
cuss furious
more than everybody else on the planet. But, fuck is every third word out of my mouth. I've gotten shit for that from listeners before. But hey, that's what I do. Next to cunt, fuck is the best word on the planet. And I say it all the time. And I say rape all the time. I say a lot of shit. But I'm I guess it comes
down to,
like,
all three have a correlation.
Right. And I, and,
there
and,
you go.
Yeah. Yeah. No,
he's
shit.
He's got a theme to his swear.
Yeah. I have a theme to it.
he's an artist, people.
But what it comes down to is, like, you know, I guess it comes down to, like, people controlling themselves. The argument that, like, you know, I respect other people. I respect their fucking beliefs. I mean, until they give me a reason not to, then I adamantly don't respect them. But until they give me a reason not to, like, if I'm just cussing like a fucking sailor and it bothers somebody and I see that it bothers them, like, oh man, I'm sorry. You know, I apologize. I'll not do that. And I'm fine with it. It's people that, like, the problem is it's people that don't have any sort of, like, meter or filter whatsoever, that just fly off the handle, say whatever they want, whenever they want, and they don't have any respect for other people. That's what it comes down to. It's just, right. You know, if you say something that, like, offends somebody, like, even, you know, there's a lot of people that don't share my views, that don't, you know, well, most people in the world share my views, but it's like, if I offend somebody, then, oh man, I apologize. I'm sorry. You know, I was just saying something that, you know, okay, cool. You're totally right. I'll cut down on that. No problem. But then if they give me an attitude about it, oh man, I'm going to call their grandmother a cunt and punch them in the nuts. Like, yeah, because, you know, if I apologize, then, like, you'd better realize that I'm being nice.
Now, here's something interesting. Like, I'm a huge fan of, like, you know, British speakers. You know, they're very eloquent when they speak. They don't use and or very often. Their words are really eloquent. At the same time, though, I look at it like this. I've talked to many people who swear, but you know what? Intelligence comes out of their mouth. They may swear a lot, but it's intelligent. I've also heard people that
that's
don't. Me. I've
it's
also.
Just, I'm the only person you talk to.
No, but you actually. The thing is, a lot of people will give you shit, and they'll tell you that you're just this potty mouth, and the truth is you're not. You actually have a lot of very intelligent discussion. It's just your character. So I've talked to a lot of people who don't swear, and nothing comes out their mouth but bullshit. So, guys, yeah. In the end of the day, keep your minds open, keep your perspective open, and if people are swearing and it's bothering you that much, then leave.
Yeah,
you know, it's your choice. Turn around, turn the headphones off, get out, plug your ears. I don't know. You know, get out of there. But don't. The whole point is the community needs to calm down a lot, and society needs to calm down. And it's not about this giant political correctness machine that's gone rampant and out of control. It's just out of control. So, anyways, we gotta get on that subject.
Hey, yeah, we've already put 23 minutes here.
Yeah, let's get off. All right, so let's talk about GP Toronto, because it was pretty amazing. I know I got shit on, and apparently I'm fired as well from Mana Deprived.
We're doing this shit rogue now.
Yeah, I got to tell you, listeners, I tried really hard, but I think my walking papers are in the mail. So
you're gonna send this episode to KYT, and it's your.
It might never get posted. Yeah, he's gonna edit me out. So parents.
In the ferret, bullshitting back and forth in a blank spot.
So apparently what happens, because everyone asked me, so I got shit on work, you know, snuck up on me. You know, my company's doing a big gig. We got a big client, yada, yada. Of course, tried to get a Friday deadline out for them. Shit goes wrong. They pay you a lot of money, and they expect you to work your ass off. You know, so you're a fucking dog, and you got to do it. So I had to do what I got to do to keep the client, keep the job, keep the money going in. Sorry, guys. Sorry, Scotty. Sorry, KOT. I know I missed the big-ass party, but had to do what I got to do, guys. Vegas is penciled in books, so I will not miss Vegas. So,
all right.
But I have to say, so KYT finished 35th out of 150,050 people. 52.
Woohoo!
Yeah, that's not awesome. Bad, man. I didn't know he could play that good. Fucking yeah, Batman. That's crazy shit, dude. 35th. He beat LSV or something. He beat a bunch of the top guys. I'm like, damn.
Damn, that's crazy.
Isn't it? That's nuts, man.
KYT, get him.
And then I don't know if you saw all the pics of their crazy party, but it looked wild.
I saw one. I forget who posted it on Twitter, but I think it was Medina posted a pic, and he's just all, yeah, the Mana Deprived party. And I clicked on it, and I looked at it, and it's like, you know, I'm not saying that this is a good representation of the Mana Deprived party, because I'm sure fucking Scotty and KYT can throw a fucking party, but it, like, Medina posts this picture,
it looked awkward.
And it's just, it's like a the seating area of a fucking bar, and you've got like a bunch of awkward a bunch of dudes sitting around staring at their phones. Like everybody in the picture was staring at their fucking phone, not talking to anybody around them, and the couple people that weren't staring at their phone were eating.
I think that was before the alcohol was served, though.
I would hope so.
It was a pre-party shot. Now, apparently, there's some video of some crazy shit that went down, so it looked like it got pretty wild.
Like some good karaoke shit.
Yeah, so I mean, that was pretty cool.
Well, my only concern, and this isn't because, you know, I want to be a dick and show up mana-deprived, wink, wink, but we have to make ours cooler just because I couldn't be at the fucking GP Toronto, or the GP mana-deprived.
Kevin, by you being there, I believe we were cooler already.
And this is no promises or anything, but I've talked to the guys, and they're all down for it. We're going to try to book a show.
That's gonna be nuts.
Hopefully Saturday night would be ideal. But the Barstool Saints, we're gonna book a show in Vegas for that weekend so that I can go fucking hang out with you guys, play Magic all weekend, and throw in a Barstool Saints show so you guys can see us play live.
So there you go, rock show with MTG. that's right there. Sounds next level to me.
I'll be wearing a fucking heavy meta or a fucking.
You will. No. We're heavy meting that thing.
Mm-hmm.
The production is being worked on at the moment. So let's jump into some finest because we brought we flew MTG O'Ferret all the way out.
Well, hey, you just brought up GP Toronto. You were trying to say it's some awesome ass thing. Now the actual GP itself.
Yes.
How are we saying that was awesome? All I seen was a bunch of blatant cheating going on.
There was a lot of cheating. Yeah, that was pretty bad shit.
I mean, two of them I can possibly say that they were legitimate accidents, but one of them, you know, sleight of handing a card into your hand, fucking right then and there
that an
on
accident?
Camera.
That's not
that one was an accident. I was like, there's no way in hell that was obvious. Another one, a guy moves his spreading seas around, so it's not, so he has his red mana now open instead of being completely locked out. And then, now, it's a pro. I don't know whether to be thinking, what the fuck, because we had a pro make a mistake on this kind of level, or if it's intentional. I really don't know which way to go with this, because you would expect the guy to be good enough not to make these kind of mistakes, but Willie Edel using a Marsh Glass to get a
stomping ground.
I don't know which way to cut it on it. I mean, the guy's awesome from everything I hear, and, you know, he's one of the stand-up kind of guy.
Well, so
with the same respect, he's a pro on that kind of level where I'm like, dear, really?
I think he was going for a blood crypt, and he just grabbed the wrong one. But
TSG was a stand-up dude until just a couple months ago. I don't know much about this, but like, okay, from a newer player standpoint, this is what I don't get. Like, I've been hearing a lot about this lately, and I don't know if this is something that has been like prevalent before, or if it's like, I mean, I don't know how long they've been doing coverage in the whole scheme of things, like video coverage.
10 years, man. Long time.
They've been doing video coverage for a long time, and it seems like, I mean, this has been coming up a lot within the last, I don't know, say 6 months to a year, is people like cheating on camera.
It's actually now, constant. The amount of cheating hasn't changed. It's just
it's rampant
there. Like people.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. Is it ridiculous? Is it that bad? Because I mean, I've never been to a fucking GP. I've never been to anything like that. I mean, fuck, I've played FNMs at a tiny
exactly. I haven't either, but I've heard like from people who have gone to like certain events, like it's apparently the Star City Games grinders are just cheat fests.
Well, has it been a thing? Okay, so there's a bunch of cheating that's been going on for a long time. Is what it is. Yeah, that's a whole different subject. But it seems to me I've been hearing about like this whole like cheating on camera thing a lot more recently. Is that something that's been like basically it's
how
the same
stupid?
Or,
how, first of all,
no, you can't go like more than three or four events without hearing about someone cheating on camera again.
Well,
that's
I'm wondering
if that's like the new in thing to do. It's like, you know, some of these fucking pro players, like, you know, they do what they do. They go to fucking events, they play. So like they've got side bets going on. They're like, do you think you can pull this off? And so you have to fucking pull off this fucking sleight of hand shit on camera. And there's a whole side betting pool on whether you could actually pull it off. And the cheat is already pre-fucking planned. And whoever drew the short straw has to actually execute it on camera and see if they can get away with it.
Well, how stupid do you have to be? Like, what I don't understand is, yes, I get there's a lot more eyes on people. There's like 1,000 people watching a match, so they're going to catch any little thing, right? But how stupid are you to pull a cheat on camera? Like, Bertoncini is a moron. Like, I'm sorry. Anyone that gets caught cheating on camera, you deserve full punishment. I don't care if it's an accident. Like, you should, you're on camera, dude. If I was on camera, I'd be playing tight as shit. Like, come on.
The problem is they don't punish cheating enough. I mean, you can get someone who has been suspended for cheating and still get in the Hall of Fame. Or at least on the ballot.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, if you get caught or suspended for cheating, there should be absolutely no possibility whatsoever for a Hall of Fame.
I agree 100%.
Hall of Fame, you get into the Hall of Fame, but you have to have an asterisk next to your
name. Fuck that asterisk. No, your ass cannot get in. You do not get invited to every pro tour. Mm-hmm. And honestly, that's the thing. If you're nailed for cheating within that year, you should not be allowed to go to any pro tours for that year.
I agree. I think cheating is...
It doesn't mean necessarily that you can't play. It's just, sorry, you can't go pro.
Yes, that makes sense. True. I mean, if you want the game to be taken legitimately, then you can't have cheats. I think it just hurts the game. Every time I see someone cheat, I'm just like, ugh. You know, because you make this game look like a bunch of fucking kids playing it. Like, I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah, I don't know.
Cheating is cheating.
Yeah. That makes me go after Jeebus. So, hey, how you like your paper game, fucker?
You know what's funny? You can't cheat on MTGO, so there you go, right? Like, there's another reason why digital's better, but...
There you go.
So now, let's move on to some finance, because I know a lot of people were tuning in for Ferret's insight into the MTGO economy. And,
all right, well, let me get my Magic 8-Ball.
Yeah, get your magic eight ball.
Let's try again later. Shit.
I thought it was the magic.
It really is just a magic eight ball, isn't it? But instead of all the stupid answers, it's just got an up arrow or a down arrow.
It's
like, so hey, Ferret, you know, how's Craterhoof doing? And you just shake it, and you're
going down.
Cloudy. Try again later.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, here's a couple of things that's interesting. So, a lot of people have been asking me about the cycle of modern staples, and I've been studying some of the graphs.
Oh, modern.
Well, I don't know, man. I mean, watching the GP Modern's kind of cool, right? I don't know. I had a big argument with a couple people over, like, is Legacy better, Modern Legacy? I'm not going to go there right now. We'll save that for a whole other debate.
I've gone on record a bunch of times on this podcast saying, fuck Modern, I hate Modern, it's stupid.
Dude,
honestly, the only reason I keep saying that is because, like, my brain is just barely grasping Standard at this point. So it's more a jealousy thing than anything.
You're going to like Modern, trust me. As you build your – one thing I tell people is if you don't have a card pool to play from, yeah, of course you're going to hate those formats, or you're not going to hate them, but you're not going to be interested in them. But if you build your collection slowly on MTGO, you'll eventually start to collect these staples, and you know you're going to want to dabble. Like, I'm starting to dabble in Modern. I think it's kind of cool. Like, do I think it should have more decks? Yes.
Down with it. And I mean, this might just be like the phase that I'm at in my magical journey. No, like the phase that I'm at, like I'm focused on Standard because like it's, I know just enough to start to have a grasp on it and really
good.
Start to know what's going on with these other, you know, with other decks, shit that I don't even play with, but like how to play around them and all this stuff. And like when you bring in, like when you go to Modern, it's a whole different thing. You know, there's way more of a card pool. It's a bunch of cards that I don't know anything about. You know, I've said this before. It's like, you know, with Standard, like I've been playing long enough now, like playing, you know, drafts and shit like that, and just playing decks, that I've really gotten a decent feel of all the cards that are legal in Standard right now. Like I kind of know what they are. So if I see them across the table from me or across the fucking screen from me, like I know.
You have an idea how to play.
I have an idea of what's going on.
Yeah.
But here's a perfect example. Last night, fucking Daniel came over to come fucking play. He built this fucking Cascade deck that he's been wanting to build and try out. And came over, and we were playing a couple games, and I'm just like, because, I mean, I guess it's kind of modernish. Like, we pretty much play with whatever the fuck we want to. So it's not restricted to Standard. But, like, all of these cards, I have no idea what the fuck they do. And so I'm like, the whole time I'm like reading, like, wait, what the fuck does that do? And then I'm trying to come up with like what he might be doing with like his board state and like all these interactions that I have no idea because I wasn't around for it. Like,
yeah, but dude, that's fun.
Oh, no, it is. It is fun.
Good, right?
It gets a bit overwhelming, I guess.
Oh, like, yeah, it can be for sure.
So that's why I think I always talk shit on Modern. It's not like literally talking shit on it. It's the fact that like I'm just got a decent grasp on Standard at this point, and I'm like, okay, I get this, and I can handle this. I can hold my own here. But then like when you get into Modern, it all goes out the window.
I'll just call it right now. So after GP Vegas, Kevy will only be like, I love Modern. Yeah. Modern is amazing.
It depends on how many fucking goifs I open.
Well, it depends on how many you fight. How many people you fight for your goifs. So anyways, let's just talk on a real quick topic here. Cause I got Ferret. I got a real good question for you. One is a lot of people ask me about the cycle of Modern staples because as we know, you can, apparently, I've been told, you can buy in off season. Modern staples, sell during peak season, and then continue. Just wash and repeat and make money. And I wanted to ask your opinion on that because with Modern Masters coming, is that the end of it?
No, like, that's not going to be the end of the cycle. The cycle is, it honestly has been around since even Extended was going on. And you would have the whole GPs or, you know, your seasons, basically, for your GPs, your Pro Tours, and all that kind of stuff. And people like to... Unfortunately, if you really get into it, like, you know how people will buy and sell on Standard? They'll buy the decks they want to play, and then they'll sell it off.
Right.
And just because, especially on MTGO, the market's so fluid that you can do that for relatively little loss compared to what you can for paper.
Right.
So when the seasons start coming around, they'll liquidate all their cards, get the decks they want for Modern, which then will push the price up because everybody's still trying to get the cards. And if you're buying on the off season and selling when everybody's buying, it's almost instant money.
Yeah, but what I'm asking is like, okay, Modern Masters is coming, and is it going to flood the market with Modern staples to the point where maybe it's the percentage of what you could make during off and on season will be reduced because just so many cards will be introduced into the system?
Nah, there's not going to be enough cards introduced. I mean, there's people that are trying to say that, oh, you know, Modern Masters is going to flood the system so much. Yeah, you know what? It might flood it for the next 3-6 months or something, but fucking after that, it's not like they're going to reprint these cards again in another 6 to 12 months.
Okay,
so as long as we're having a long-term outlook. Now, that leads me into the most biggest question I've been asked about, and that is, how do you get out of Standard, and when do you do it from a cost perspective? So a lot of people have been hearing... a lot of scary talk going around on Quiet Speculation and shit, talking about, you know, Return of Ravnica is completely about to drop. The entire floor is about to come out of it in paper because of all the redemptions. And I would argue that, well, if everyone is redeeming on MTGO, then shouldn't the prices go up? And if they're going to go up, when do I get out of Return to Ravnica? So let's have a specific question. What date do I get out of Return to Ravnica? Do I get out and sell like everything like just before M14?
When you get out of Return to Ravnica?
Yes. So what
you're
I
want to get out of Return to Ravnica probably about a month or two before it rotates.
Which is like typically when M14, right? The M set comes out.
Like after the M set comes out, right?
No, because
I believe it might be when M14. Yeah, it's probably like when M14. I'm not sure the exact years and everything.
Because I was
kind of right after today.
It's okay. I was looking at some of the charts, looking back over like 16 months, and I was watching the indices, which for those of you that don't know, there's certain sites you can go to, and you can look at the block of cards as an indice and see how they sold. So the idea is you can see the clear bell curve of the max price, and then it's dip, and then it's back up.
Well, the thing about that site you've been looking at, too, is you got to remember the particular bot chain that it follows doesn't necessarily do spikes. It itself works on a belt.
I understand I'm looking at a small segment of data, but what I'm really trying to do is, because I'm a noob, is I'm trying to study the financial curve. So I don't need like super specific data.
Oh yeah, there's definitely.
But I want to understand like and get an idea. Is there a curve here? Is there a window here? And is that a repeatable window?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So
that's what we were discussing last time I was on here.
Yeah, well, this is it's.
We don't remember the last time you were.
Well, apparently, it's your episode sparked a lot of controversy, not controversy, but a lot of questions that people want to know more and in more detail. So,
I do have a question actually. Like, it kind of pertains to this. Like, it just brought up. Okay, you know, you were talking about and we talked about before. I'm lying. I do remember the last time you were on.
You know, you don't remember shit.
You don't remember shit. There is a certain time where, you know, people end up redemptions spike because, you know, whether it be because redemptions are no longer going to be available for that set, or like, you know, you're saying like now everybody with Return of Ravnica, everybody's buying up their sets because they're cheap as shit online and they're redeeming them. Does that, like, how do I put this? Does that ever create any sort of rise and fall in the opposite market, as far as like, say, for instance, okay, everybody is redeeming right now, like, say, you know, if everybody's redeeming Return to Ravnica right now, is that going to drop the paper prices?
Yes, that's happening. Yeah, that's exactly what's happening right now. So apparently, from what I've been hearing, a lot of people are pulling out completely in paper. Like, you can read legit, the finance article on legit. I can't remember who wrote it, but he was just saying like he's just getting out completely his paper position on Return to Ravnica completely until it drops, and then he's going to get back in on choice rares and mythics. I watched it happen with Innistrad, same thing. So the normal curve, from what I understand, and Ferret can correct me, is there's a huge spike when it first debuts online. That's a steady, steady fall off for about 3 months. You see certain cards peak as decks are built, and then just before the next gatecrash comes, there'll be a bit of a spike or a bit of a dip, right? And then when people realize, oh shit, because I'm selling off my Return to Ravnica cards to buy gatecrash, oh man, I gotta go rebuy. So that you might, if you want to get in just before gatecrash comes out, should be at its bottom. Then it'll peak all the way back up until its end cycle just before rotation. So, yeah. Right. And then there'll be a secondary spike where after it rotates, it's before it leaves the system. So before it leaves, like, Zendikar just left Redemption, and there was a spike just near the
tip. There was a huge spike.
Well, it was for those lands, right? Like,
even the lands.
No,
I'm talking there was a huge spike on all the mythics.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, you used to have mythics that were low as $1.20 or something that are 7 ticks now.
Yep. Yeah. Well, there you go. I mean, maybe I just wish Wizards of the Coast would actually release numbers so we could see like how many cards left the system. Oh, that would be such valuable financial data.
Yeah, actually, who is it that's doing the survey on that right now?
Mr. Vigable is doing it.
And he's actually speaking with some people that have that sort of information. So if you want to try to get those numbers, get a hold of him.
Or just tweet them online, man. Let's put some pressure on the coast there and see what they'll release for us. So I guess that kind of covers that. One person had a very unique question, Ferret, and that was, do you think M sets are the least financially valuable?
Typically, that is absolutely true. There are some exceptions to the rules, such as Thrag Tusk. However, the hell he's still so high. And another one lately has been Thunderbomb.
Now,
sometimes you just get those cards, which they take over a format, and, well, they're going to be what they are because what they are.
Now, here's a question. Do you think that they on purpose, like, because you look at the Titans, you look at Baneslayer Angel, I think they put ridiculously overpowered cards, one or two of them, in M sets to sell them. Right? Because the rest of the M, like, there's maybe three cards in the entire M13 that's good.
You know, I was actually thinking about this yesterday, and here's what I've come up to the conclusion. They try to make cards to fix formats, and then they end up breaking the damn format with the card that they make to fix it.
Exactly.
I mean, because if you think about it, Thrag Tusk was supposed to fix the Delver format. Well, congratulations. Delver is no longer an issue.
Well, I don't know. Maybe with Gatecrash, we might get a Delver deck back. You never know.
Well, we might. But
Black and blue.
What was another one of the ones that was supposed to fix something?
Well, all Rest in Peace and all these cards to fix Snapcaster. I mean, it's obliterated that strategy, so.
Well, maybe Delver will come back with the whole with like we said, Dimir coming back. Like maybe they'll get a bunch of fucking instants and sorceries and shit that
they will. Oh,
that
I guarantee.
Matter.
I could see it coming back. I mean, so like from a, I mean, to answer this person's specific question about MSETs was, do you think that it's like pointless to try and speculate on MSETs? Just because it's so crazy, like you, like no one knew Thragtusk was going to go that high. Like I remember, it was I saw it for $3, three tickets online, and I bought two, and I was like, I'm going to wait. I think it's going to drop, and then I was like, holy shit, it's 20.
Yeah, no,
oh, shit.
Unless you see something completely out of whack and you know better, then it's one of those things that M sets aren't really worth speculating on. Like I speculated a little bit on Thunderbaws, for example, because I heard that they were being awesome out of Japan, right? So I picked them up at, what was it, $775, and I ended up selling them at $13, and I'm like, there's no way they're going to go higher. Well, shit, was I wrong.
Well, I think that card is absurd. Like, $32 now, on, or 32 ticks it's up to now? Yeah.
Yeah, the last time we seen a card do that, that was Baneslayer. And, well, we all know how powerful Baneslayer was in her standard.
Yeah, well,
Thunderbolt is good.
I don't.
Yeah, you don't, but I mean, Baneslayer was crazy. Like, I remember way back in paper, that was one of the first cards I bought off eBay. And I think I paid $35 for one in paper. Because I just wanted one. Like, God, I never did that again. But, to me, I guess he's like a Baneslayer, but, I don't know, he seems very, I could see him at 20, but not 35. Hell, I've heard foils are going for $50 to $60 now.
Oh, I believe it.
That's out of control.
And for an M set, that's unreal.
I think it's a little crazy, but we'll see. I guess that's the way they M sets. They drop the power to sell it, right?
You know, that actually makes me wonder what's going to happen with the Johnny if Boros goes nuts. I would like to make my little guy flying double striking. Thank you.
Yeah, okay, yeah, but no, does he give him flying?
Yes.
Oh, he jumps them too?
He's a 3-mana walker that jumps and double strikes your creature.
Yeah, I remember people were doing shit like that with like that and stuff. Fucking Immolating Soul Eater.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah. They were doing that was and then they would get you on turn 3 for the win, yeah.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
Hilarious.
That's brutal. But here's an interesting thought. So what Johnny's going for like 7 tickets right now? 7
exactly.
5. So do you think, like, honestly, I could see him maybe going up a buck or two, but
well, see, that's the problem. It's with being an M set, I don't think he's going to go up that much.
No, and he I mean it is his first
but
time.
But he will if
he's
he does become like a 4 of in that deck, he would easily hit, you know, 13 ticks.
Would he? I don't know if he'd ever be a 4 of, like, double white. Because, like, if you look at, like, I've been trying to build Boros, and there's so many double red cards and double white.
Matt.
Ugh, brutal.
Matt.
What?
We're looking at a set. Our standard.
How
many different lands do we have? We have.
Yes.
That are, you know, double lands, not to mention we have Lantern. It's just, mana pick seems ridiculous.
Who's going to play Lantern in Boros?
Like, I haven't even been around that long to see what was going on before, I mean, fucking pre-Innistrad standard. But, like, it seems like with the lands that we have now, or that we will have come Gatecrash when it completes the cycle of the Shocklands and stuff like that, like, it's, I mean, you can play, like, fucking 4 or 5 color decks with no fucking problem. Like, the mana base just seems like...
Well, it's, you know,
so much better than it's been before. And again, I wasn't around for older sets, but it seems fucking ridiculous.
Now, hold on. It seems...
First standard is the best it's been since Lorwyn.
I agree. But it seems misleading because, yes, I can splash cards for, like, Chandra, which is 1 red, or Thragtusk, which is 1 green. When you hit those cards that are double... I don't know, man. I play Modern. I was testing, you know, Kibler's Green White Hate Bears. There's a lot of times when you're like, you don't want to have that double color card because it's.
But you're talking about a format Modern where you're starting effectively with 15 life compared to Standard, which you're starting with 50.
Well,
I'm sorry,
that's true.
There is that common joke that's going around right now.
There is
except for with 60 cards and 4 of.
Oh yes,
there's yeah, so there's much. There. Actually, have you seen that ridiculous Rocks Faithmender Life Gain deck?
Yes, I have.
With the where they're using the Chalice of Life and Death. Ugh. So here's a story. So I was playing MTGO, and a guy Guy starts dropping cards, and I'm like, oh, he's five color control wheel, right? So I'm assuming he's going to be dropping Nicoboluses on my ass. And I'm just playing Green White Humans again. So I'm like, I'm going to get you. He starts dropping, like, Centaur Healers. And I'm like, okay, I get it. You're going to go into Sphinx's Revelation. This will be cool. And then he drops a Rocks Faith Mender. And I'm like, okay, I get it, right? Because I've heard that tech, right? But I'm like, I'm Green White Humans. I can deal 16.
You are done.
No. Hold on. So I'm like, I can deal 16 in one turn. So I'm like, I'm not scared yet, right? And he drops a Thrag Tusk, gains 10 life. And I'm still not scared. I'm like, I can still beat this guy. If that's all you got, I'm going to kill you, right? And then he drops the damn chalice. And what I didn't realize about the chalice is, as long as you are above 30 life, it doesn't matter when the chalice came in. Because I thought you had to drop the chalice, then gain 10 life to activate it. Nope.
That's not the case.
So he drops it, transforms it, and then he's like, hey, I'm going to sit here and just ding you. Five life. And I was like, wow, I can do nothing. Like, because he just would block everything. I was like, it was pretty cool. I was like, wow. So I don't know if Chalice has it's an uncommon, right? So it probably doesn't have a spec target on it, but it was kind of interesting. I was impressed.
That's crazy.
It was.
Yeah, I
ran into that deck once, and I think I died before it got crazy. I just, like, I had bad fucking
Bad
draws, just bad hands for me, and I was like, I was dead before it even started.
It was funny because I was chatting with the guy, and I was like, hey man, this is a really good deck, and he's like, hey, thanks man, and he's like, I just beat a guy playing Black Red Zombies, and I was like, oh really? He goes, what did he say? He goes, oh, the guy rage quit in the second game because he's like, there's zero, there's no card in that deck that can do anything against it.
That was probably me. Like, you probably played him right after I did. I'm like, man, fuck this. I'm out.
So, you were saying you had a couple cards you were looking at.
Yeah, so there's a couple cards that I've been watching. So, one of them, I was lucky enough, because when Scars rotated, I had a little bit of foresight, and I understood that, you know, I'm going to want to get in some of those Scars cards that potentially may be worth something in Modern. So I picked up a couple of Karns because I didn't have them. I picked up some Batterskulls, and I got them pretty cheap, like I think 6 tickets for Batterskull, and I think I got Karn at 9. Now, Karn he's $20 again, right?
I'm looking at him right now. $27.82.
Holy, that is. I thought he was 21. That's huge. Now,
okay. Is it modern? Actually, it's more than modern. Believe it or not, a lot of people don't give casual players enough credit for pushing the market, but they do. Huh. Karn is one of those cards where, yes, he's awesome and modern, and that'll push the card. You know, the competitive play will push it quite a bit.
So he's got Eldrazi syndrome, right?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, so then you got him. He's going to be in almost every EDH deck. I shouldn't say every, but you get the idea.
Well, he's colorless, right? So yeah
exactly. Sense. The fact that he's colorless, that he's 7 mana, anybody that plays casual and likes to play big flashy spells likes Karn.
Now, here's the thing. So Karn is not.
Is he that high? I'm sorry, I missed it. Is he that high in paper or in Moto?
He's that high in Moto. I don't know paper. I don't follow paper. Sorry.
I will tell you in a second here. I will keep chatting and I will look it up.
I'm just curious.
Oh, so am I now.
Daniel's got 2 Karns in one of his decks, and I might have to fucking I'm have to swindle him out.
Wow. So Karn. Karn right now you can get for $18.
Okay.
On paper. So
what the fuck, man? How come you can't go the other way? Like, you do set redemptions and shit. How come I can't trade my fucking paper cards in for digital cards?
That would actually be awesome. We're good on that. So here's the thing. So $27, obviously that's a ceiling. I think that's crazy, and he's probably going to crash back down after Modern rotates to about 20. Like, do you think that's reasonable?
Yeah, he'll probably crash down to about 20. And honestly, before I looked it up, I was thinking he was about there, and I'm like, no, he'll stay, but no. At 28, you could probably safely sell. The problem with that is, though, are you willing to have that much time of waiting for him to come back down before you buy him again? Sure. You got to remember, you're only going to be selling him for about 25.
Okay, they're buying at 25, okay.
Well, I'm just randomly guessing. I'm not looking at the lists right now for that. But, yeah, I mean, it's probably buying for, like, 24, 25. So now, then you're going to have to wait until it drops to at least that, and then you're going to have to wait until it drops to at least 20, like you said, just to try to make a profit on the actual sale.
Right.
So now, do you think that, obviously, you know, people have to remember with certain, you know, cards that I believe Modern Masters is not printing anything past or Zendikar Forward. So a lot of these cards, like, for instance, I keep telling people, you should be buying Scar's Dual Lands. They are so cheap right now. I mean, there's some of them are under, like, 50
cents. Oh, yeah, there's a lot of people that have started to realize that, oh, wait, those aren't getting reprinted anytime soon. And, yeah, those lands are awesome.
Yeah, so I picked up a lot. I still
That's
think
the fast good. Lands, right?
Yep.
Yes.
And now there's an argument going online. I personally think that they're the best land in Modern, just because that they're like a dual land for the first three turns. And Modern is a turn four format, so...
Exactly.
You know, I mean, you can argue, yes, you can fetch other lands for consistency, but for speed in a two-color deck, I think the Scar's lands are the best land, and I would always play a four of them. So playing fast, I play four. If I'm playing fetch lands... Well, I probably play four fetch lands, but I would then only play two shocks. So that's another thing that got brought up to me, that investing in shock lands and the RTR shock lands is foolish. And was it fair? You tell me. No. Let me finish. And the argument was that while they may go back, like right now they're around 3-4 tickets. Some of them are still 2-5. But the argument is that in Modern, they're not a four of. They're a three of or a two of. So...
They don't have to be four of. They're the staple. That's like trying to tell someone in Legacy, don't get the original duels. What the fuck are you thinking? Who cares if I'm only playing two of each? They're going to be in every deck.
That's true. Yeah. So there you go. So from the word of the mouth of the ferret, you're crazy people.
From the mouth of the ferret.
So now here's another one. Obviously the hottest card of the weekend. Deathrite
Shaman.
Not yet, Kevin. So Deathrite Shaman. My thoughts are, it's a Modern staple. Yep. Do I think it's a Standard staple? Nope. Do I think great?
It could be.
Well, maybe
it's actually
maybe.
Starting to see play in Standard because it shuts
for
down.
For what reason?
Well, for Stats. The main reason that like it takes and shuts down the second half of a lot of flashback spells.
Yeah, but
You want to use Snapcaster? Nope.
Yeah, for that.
You want to flashback your Lingering Souls? Nope.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Snaps isn't even that... what deck is even running him right now? And why the hell is he still so low in MTGO? He's still six tickets you can grab him for. In paper, he's $30. That's just crazy. It's just this weird
disparity.
The world
between paper and MTGO doesn't make sense all the time, such as Karn being 818 on paper and 28 on MTGO.
Yeah, so there you go. Let's figure that out. It's got to balance, people. So what do you think about Deathrend Shaman? I, of course, was in it very early. I was buying them at 2.
Oh, yeah. No, I told you back then to start picking them up. And my reasoning is the same as it was back then.
Well,
Deathrend Shaman...
How much is he? How much is he? So we know right now. He's 35.
Okay, he's 330 right now.
Okay, 330. I don't know. That's kind of getting to the point where I don't want to pick him up. I want to wait. Before Gate Crash, maybe? Reasonable?
He's about as low as he's going to get. Now, here's the thing, though. You probably would have said the same damn thing with Noble Hierarch when it was at 5 ticks.
No, I wouldn't have, because Noble Hierarch is so much different in the deck it goes in. In a Bant deck, it's like...
No, you're right. It's different in the deck it goes in. But the utility that it offers, and that's the same thing with Deathrite Shaman.
Well,
Deathrite Shaman is a Jund creature... For a Jund deck, but the utility it offers is just as important to Jund
as
a Noble Hierarch is to Bant.
Now, someone said this, and I had to give him shout-outs for it, is he said that Deathrite Shaman is the first one-mana-cost Planeswalker. And I was like, you know what? He is!
I can't argue that particular thought.
He's got three abilities, and he's really good. He's a one-mana, three-ability Planeswalker. He just can be killed by creature spells. And I was like, wow, that's actually very relevant. You know, when you think about it that way, at 3 tickets, he's a total deal. Interesting.
That and Deathrite Shaman has been seeing Legacy play as well.
Oh, but the only problem is if we're talking MTGO finance and there is no Legacy online, so.
Well, there is a little, but yeah.
Very little. So, I mean, I don't know. Do I think he's going to go that much higher during his Standard time? Maybe I can see him at $5 if he hits the right deck. Is he ever going to be a four of? I don't know.
See, that's the thing. I'm not looking at him as Standard. I'm just looking, you know, long term. He's going to be a card that you're going to want to have in your collection because you're not going to want to pick him up when he finally does go up.
Yeah, agreed. totally agree with that. So now here's one that I'm actually kind of, well, maybe I'm not too shocked, but Angel Serenity, which was a very, very high card, 18 tickets, I think was its peak. It's falling hard right now. It is,
I think,
falling.
A lot of that has to do with the fact that Bant doesn't, they realize they don't need him.
Well, yeah, I guess they're going Crater Hoof, yeah, and Grizzlebrand, right? And they're like, deal with those two fuckers.
Well, that's Frights. I was talking Bant. They're figuring out that they really don't need four of Angel of Serenity.
Wow, it is down. Along. It is down to 12-7. Shit.
Well, I was looking at 13 at the bot chain, but yeah.
Well, there you go. That's interesting. So, I mean, I guess it's still an Angel. It's still going to be... I can't see it going below 7 because it's just such a casual card, like... You know, I want it. It's just such a...
Oh, yeah, no, it won't. Out. I don't think it'll go below 10, to be honest. And if it does, it won't go below 8.
No, I can't see it at all. So, I mean, that one, maybe if it dips, I don't know. I'm not sure I would pick it up yet. I would wait and let it fall.
Yeah, I would definitely wait, too. Unless it becomes that... I mean, the thing, the reason why Angel of Serenity was so high is for the same reason that Sphinx's Revelation is still going up. It was the biggest, best thing you can do.
True. Right.
Angel of Serenity is no longer the bigger, best thing you can do.
And we haven't even seen what Gate Crash is going to give us, so that's something to watch out for. So watch these cards you want. When Gate Crash comes out and the previews are there and everyone starts selling off all their powered cards because, like, I want the new stuff, that's when you go buy these because they'll come back. Now, what do you think about Nicobolas? Because that thing, dude, that card was, like, off the radar when M13 hit. It was just garbage going for 2 tickets. And it is creeping up to the point. What is it at now?
It's sitting at 6.
7-6 tickets, man. That's almost...
Honestly, I don't even know what to think about this. And this is the reason control, I hate, right? the standard so much.
Why do you hate standards?
You know, when Nicobolas originally came out in Conflux, you just looked at him like, no. I'll just Cruel Ultimatum you instead. Why would I play Nicobolas?
Yeah, but
he's so much mana for, you know, do nothing.
No, he's not. When he hits the table, he steals a creature.
Yeah, no, I understand that. But at that point,
yeah.
You got to remember, in that standard, by that point, if you got to that time, you're dead.
Yeah, you were dead or you already
had the game won.
Yeah, very true.
Well, my humble opinion of Nicobolas is, well, fuck that guy.
Do you ever play him, Kevy, though? Do you find him attractive?
No, not even in the slightest.
Why?
I hate
Why?
Playing it because I hate playing against him. Daniel loves him. Daniel's
so
got a Grixis
deck. You love
deck.
It then?
No, Daniel's got a Grixis deck. Well, this is why. Daniel's got a Grixis deck that he plays. It's a Bolas deck. There's a lot of control, you know, obviously a lot of control element to be able to fucking get that guy out before, you know, say he's playing against my zombies deck. There's a lot of shit he's got to do he's got to work so hard to get that guy out. And like when that thing hits the table, if I don't have an answer, like I'm fucked, done and done. Like, but the 90% of the time, like that doesn't work because the Dreadbore. Done.
Yeah. But like, I mean, no one's really playing Dreadbore now, so.
Well, no, and I understand that too, but I mean, you have ways that, like, it seems like, I mean, I get that the format right now is kind of in the mid range, longer range.
It seems very long range right now. Just over the top.
Either you gotta go under the format, which means faster than turn 5 and Thragtusk, or you go over and see how big you can go.
Right, right.
Which is Sphinx or Radkos, period.
But it's just, it to me, like, Bolas, I mean, you know, like I was saying earlier, like, you know, we've got the fucking mana bases right now, and then when, you know, when we get the other fucking 5 shock lands back in standard, you know, Bolas might be an option. It just seems so fucking hard to get him on the table, and then when you do get him on the table, like, I mean, done. You know, it's over. Like, it's really hard to come back from that guy being cast. Unless you have an immediate answer to him.
So
but
here's the thing, Kevy. So hold on. So here's the thing, because we're in the finance segment. So would you pay 6 tickets for him as a casual player? Okay. Now, fair. So tell me, is there room? Do you think he's... Because, like, I mean, 5-color control seems to be what the de facto... go-to answer is going to be when Gatecrash comes, because you can. Like, it's just going to be,
yeah,
why not, right?
Can.
So why wouldn't you be playing, in my opinion, he's the best Planeswalker.
Well, the thing is right now Nicobolas is pretty much in the Omniscience deck.
Yeah.
And I haven't any single game that I've seen with Omniscience and Nicobolas in it, I haven't seen Nicobolas actually play a critical role in any of those games.
Well, if Omniscience hits, you've done everything,
that's
dude.
That's exactly it. It's usually they have the Omniscience first before they have Bolas. So,
now,
and it's already over at that point, so he almost seems win more.
Right.
So I mean, I know I'm being results-based at this point, but what else, what other real way is there to do it when I haven't seen anything otherwise?
Well, you're using facts, right? As we're learning, you don't use your heart or what you want to play, you use facts. If no one's playing the card and it sucks, as Jabu says, it's a bad card, don't invest in it, it will never go out.
It's a bad card.
So, I mean, I guess you're saying it's probably at a peak or, but it's not an investment target, like in terms of, it's not going up, right?
It has the ability to go up, but it's for it to go up, it has to be the best thing for your deck to do. And right now, it is not the best thing for that particular deck to be doing.
Now, speaking of the card that is in that deck, Omniscience, I mean, I picked up one Omniscience because I just was like, oh, an EDH is going to be so cool in one blue deck I ever build. But it was, I think it was $1.05 or something like that online.
Mm-hmm.
It's now 3 or 4 tickets, right?
That's 4.
Wow, 4. So that card is, I mean, Travis Wu, obviously LSV played it. I've watched the test streams of it, and it's very impressive. It actually isn't as janky as you think. I don't have the cards to build that their deck yet. I don't have the enough copies. But
oh, it's okay, Maddie. You're not going to need it. You'll just get infinite or enter the infinite when Gatecrash comes out and piss at everybody's Wheaties.
I personally just don't see. Well, maybe. Who knows? If we get more ramp. And more consistent ramp. Like, if on turn 6 I can have 14 mana out, I'm not saying it's possible, but if you could, shit, maybe. You know, maybe you can survive long enough. Maybe you do Turbo Fog. Fogs and...
yeah, exactly. Turbo Fog. Right? I was going to say,
Turbo Fog them.
In this format?
I could see Turbo Fog.
Unless someone's playing
absolutely.
Zombies or some shit, how are you not getting to turn 6?
I could even see Turbo Fog beating zombies. Like, I could see it, you know.
Oh, I've seen
balls.
It.
It could happen.
I've been watching Smitty do it, man. It is disgusting.
Yeah, Smitty's deck is bad.
the players, they just rage.
It's so frustrating. I don't want to ever play him. I hate that deck. It's so like, hey, I'm going to win. I'm going to win. No, fuck. Fuck. Fuck.
Fuck. So, Revelation. Suck it.
So what do you think of Omniscience? Like, is it going to go higher? I think maybe. I mean,
it's
so powerful.
I think right now, well, I was calling it back when it was 2 ticks and saying, you know, you people are nuts. This card's playable. It's the biggest thing you do in the format. What do you mean it's not playable? And then, you know.
Well, it wasn't.
Wu goes and proves me right, like I told him he would. But the problem with Omniscience, though, if it becomes too popular, then there's Ray of Revelation, which also has Flashback.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So there you go. So Green White Humans will beat your ass. Still. So now here's a card that in my Green White Humans build I've been looking at, and that's Angel of Glory's Rise. That thing I picked up at 10 cents. It was dirt, and I picked up like 10 of them.
Dirt cheap.
Yeah, well, no, they're 50 cents.
There's
now.
Because there's a new deck with that one.
There is?
Yes, there is.
I have not seen it. Is it black and white?
I forget what colors. All I know is that it has to do with that enchantment where you enchant a land. Every time that land becomes tapped, the land's controller mills 3 cards from their deck into their graveyard.
Yeah, the flooded blue one. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you mill yourself, right? It's a self.
You mill the hell out of yourself, and then Angel of Glory's Rise does the Fiend Hunter combo.
That's pretty cool, actually.
So then you're just sitting there like, hi, you're going to wrath me what?
Yeah, it's anti-wrath strategy.
You know.
That's kind of cool.
And then, of course, then you have your Nevermore calling Terminus. I don't know. It just seems like might be something that could be fun.
It could.
It's what some people are doing. It's the reason the card's gone up. It's sitting at $1.87, which, of course, you know, 187, entertaining.
And someone put that on purpose at 187.
I'm beginning to think possible. Who knows?
So that's some cards to watch for in finance. We just have decided to do a little bet between all three of us. And we're going to be calling this Speculating Fools. Because me and Kevin are definitely fools, and we know we know fair to the speculators, so that's how we came up with it. But the idea is we're each going to
Get our asses kicked.
We are.
Ferret, because he knows this shit better than we do. Like, we come to him for advice, but then we're like, all right, now we're going to bet against you.
Yeah, the sad thing is we come to him for advice, but all these picks we made on our own, so we're totally fucked already, right? Okay, so here's the plan. And actually, we wouldn't mind if the listeners, you guys do it too, and we'll see. Like, it'll be a cool thing. We can all see what we're going to do. So here's the thing. We pick three cards. One from Return of Ravnica Bot.
Your answers to this
into
the comment section.
Yeah, there you go. Or comment. Yeah, exactly. So here's what we're doing. And I'll put the show notes in the page too so you can read it. So you pick a block card, an RTR block card. You pick a standard card and you pick a modern card. And the idea is we're going to pick one. And on February 20th, 2013, before Gate Crash is released, we're going to choose a winner. And the winner is determined not on the total value, but on the percentage increase. Okay? So this is not about picking the card that's going to be worth the most. It's picking the card that's going to go up the most. So I will start us off. So my Return to Ravnica block card is Jace, Architect of Thought. Now, he's current lead, just so we have this all official. Let me see here. He is 16.6. as of today. So I'm going to drop that in here. So he's 16.6. My standard card is Talrand, Sky Summoner. I don't know. I think that guy's got, if the right blue and green deck come about, man, I think that guy's going to go back up to $5. Wow, nice. So he's only 88 cents. So I think that's quite a good one. And of course, I'm going crazy. I don't know if this is a correct play. It's probably very bad. But I'm picking my modern card is Deathrite Shaman. Now, he is also a Return to Ravnica block card, but he is a modern player, so we're allowing it this time.
Oh yeah.
So Kevy, what are your cards?
For Return to Ravnica block, I picked and let me preface this by saying I told you guys this earlier. I did this in the shower. When I got home and read the show notes, I was like, oh shit, I gotta get on a podcast and I have to have answers to this. And you know, I'm also very bad at like everything I do that comes to Magic. But my RTR block card is Armada Worm. I feel like he missed.
Wait, just so we let everyone know. So it's currently 3.85. So
right.
That's actually pretty low.
Which is actually a really good card to pick if you think about it.
I feel like, and the reason I picked him, like, I didn't know exactly where he was sitting, but I knew he was pretty fucking cheap because he, like, you know, it was a big deal when the set came out, and, you know, he's got a lot of fucking potential, but he basically just fucking whiffed and missed, and everybody's just like, oh, I don't know, that card looks like a dick, I'm not gonna pick it.
Yeah, I think he got overshadowed by.
But I think what it comes down to is what I base the pick off of is Naya, I think is going.
I actually think that's good, Kevy. You're full of wisdom, man. What's going on? I love you. You're actually talking legit shit now.
My drunken hazes, like I occasionally have like these moments of genius.
Flashes.
No, I think because Naya, I think, will become a thing again, I was like, you know what, maybe that's his place. Like, you know, I don't know enough to know exactly what might end up happening with it, but I think that, like, Naya coming in as an option because the land base will be there and we'll have the cards that come in for Gruul.
Yeah.
Like, I think it'll be I very well could see something. Like, I personally think that, you know, there's plenty of good options for Naya right now. It's just not well placed because, I mean, you have Selesnya, which has some good shit in it. And of course he's a, you know, a kind of fits well with the token thing going on. Cause you know, he drops a token, but like now you're going to have Boros and Gruul coming in, which are going to bring a lot of fucking cards. And I just feel like he kind of got overshadowed. Like he wasn't effective, but now he very well might be,
man. Now you got Havangul Lich with, I can totally see a Dimir deck with Havangul Lich.
Exactly.
Oh, and picking stuff out of the graveyard. Yeah.
Same reason I picked fucking Armada Worm for my standard card. I picked Havangul Lich because that bitch is fucking bad, but she just hasn't found her place. Like I feel like, and again, I don't know, like I'm not going to be able to tell you like what it might be, but I feel like with fucking Dimir coming in, I think the Lich is going to go up.
Now,
she's a powerful fucking card, but like she just hasn't found her place.
Now here's something interesting. So what's your modern pick?
Well, on the show notes it says fuck modern.
Chandra. You can't pick Chandra. That is not even a modern card. But I guess we're allowing it.
Right, Shaman is fucking from like.
Death Rite Shaman
returned to Ravnica block. Hey, I'm saying Chandra just because I think that bitch is going to go up. Now, this isn't even like a based in modern strategy. This is the fact that like I had to pick a card for modern. Fuck modern. I don't give a shit about modern, at least until Vegas.
So as you can see, this is a very...
I had to pick Chandra stuff. Because I am starting this Chandra revolution. Not that it was my idea in the first place, but it's like I started yelling about it like a week ago, and she's going up. And I'm banking on the fact that because she's going up because of other formats, because of standard and shit like that, then she'll just add to my percentage for this competition. So I'm basically cheating on camera.
Nice. All right, Ferret, what is your Return to Ravnica black card?
All right, well, my Return to Ravnica pick is actually Counterflux. The card is actually at a nickel right now, and it's actually starting to see play. People are starting to figure out that, hey, wait a minute, this works against control decks.
Yeah, but now it's two blue and a red, right?
Yep.
Don't you think that's just a little too high costing?
Well, you got to remember, everything's about going larger than the next person. Well, in this case, you're going larger with the.
But what am I counter? But what am I countering? Like, because it says it counters all spells, right?
Yes.
So.
Well, other than uncounterables, but yeah.
Right, but like, there's no storm decks in. I don't know. It just seems like if it was two mana, yeah, I could see it being a very powerful card. I don't know. Although at a nickel.
I'm just saying, it's starting to see play. Yeah. It's a nickel card. Yeah. It has the ability to possibly go up the most. If you're going to make me actually take legitimately call something else, I would say Curse of Echoes.
Yeah, we're fucking with the finance guy, Matty.
No. Well, that's fine.
Because right now, your control decks are your decks that are supposed to be the ones that are kicking everybody's ass. So what's going to fight them is what's going to go up.
Okay, so
he's gonna pick a 3 cent card.
I know, and it's gonna be 50 cents.
And they're gonna all be killer cards, and we're gonna get our asses.
That's what I said. If you guys don't want me to pick the 5 cent card,
absolutely pick what you want to. I'm saying like, let's preface this whole competition by saying, okay, so Ferret's gonna win out of the three of us.
Not necessarily, because my next pick's quite risky compared to your guys'.
Okay, so what's your standard pick?
My standard pick's gonna be a Johnny.
Oh, man, that is... Okay, see, now he's playing ballsy here. Okay, so Ajani is what? Let's get an accurate price here. 7.4 on Supernova as of now.
Okay. He's 7.12 on Traders, so yeah.
Well, I'm using Nova for all these prices. So. All right, that's interesting. I can see it. Definitely, he's gonna have to go up quite a bit. So he's playing fair with us, Kevin, to picking a shot like that.
That's actually pretty sweet of him. He's like, I don't want to be a complete dick.
He only wants to crush us by so much. Okay, now what's your modern pick? Is this? I'm very curious because in February 20th, it will be the tail end of modern. So it's very interesting. That's why me and Kevin are cheating and picking non-modern cards.
Yeah, no, I would actually completely agree with you that. Deathrite Shaman is going to be a card that's going to continue to go up, and it's going to buck the trend for Return to Ravnica in general going down.
All right.
But to pick a legitimate modern card, I would have to say Arid Mesa has the ability to keep going up.
Arid Mesa? Okay, so...
Yeah, it's only at 687. If you look at the rest of the fetch lands, they're actually quite a bit higher than that.
So what is it at again?
Let me see what it said. Yeah, Mesa is actually sold out on Nova.
Hope you don't have a sold-out price?
Yeah, when they sell out on Nova,
they don't have the price.
Show you the sell price. So, but if you buy what Traders is going on...
You have to put an asterisk next to that.
I know, now
he's... Let me see, 50 second, MTG Goldfish.
He's cheating shit right now.
No.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no way you're getting into the Hall of Fame. You're cheating.
And you're picking a freaking red white land, which are always known to not be good. So he might, wait, you know what he's gonna do? He's gonna buy the market out.
hey, listen, no, check that out though. He's picking a red, white land and Boros is coming in. And like when this shit, when this shit goes down, when this thing ends, the hype from what's coming in at Gatecrash, maybe Boros is going to be like the new fucking thing in modern.
Okay.
And I have probably have no idea what I'm talking about, but.
Yeah, remember how I told you that, Nova doesn't hit spikes?
Uh-huh.
I just looked up a goldfish. It has it listed at 470. Wow. Traders is sitting at six, what was it? Like 620?
Is that just an out of stock price?
No, Traders is not out of stock. Or sorry, Traders is at 687.
Alright, I'm putting it at 687 then. But if you can find them at 4, that's instant money. So people, go buy that out right now. That's a crazy price disparity there. Now, have you noticed it? Because that wraps up our little thing, and we'll see what the results are. But have you noticed that there's more attention on the standard relevant cards for like price competition versus some of the modern cards that I guess maybe people don't price as often, and that's where you get these one or two ticket disparities between bots?
Well, that's what I was trying to tell you, is that Nova doesn't take and catch the spikes the way that like Traders does. And therefore, you'll watch, if you watch Goldfish like you have been, watch it for Arid Mesa. Well, it's going to keep going up until it reaches that six or seven, you know, seven tickets.
Now, we got to quickly touch on them because obviously you got the Zendikar fetch lands. They're not coming in modern. They are off of redemption. There is a set amount of them in the system now.
Uh-huh.
They can, and tell me if I'm wrong, but they can only go up.
Exactly.
Okay. Because I was wondering, like, will you see fluctuation in them going down? I can't see why.
I mean, like, maybe, at the end of the modern season, they'll take a small dip, because, once again, seasons.
Right.
But if you go, say, a year from now, oh yeah, they're gonna be up to
so they could
10
hit
ticks
20.
Each or so.
Do you think they'll ever hit 20 for the blue ones, maybe?
Hell, let me think. If you look at the Onslaught fetches, that'll give you the example of about where each
14,
should be.
15, so you're probably 14, right.
15, something like that.
Okay. Very interesting. Very interesting. All right, so we're going to move on now to some cool viewer questions, because we have one here. And
uh-oh.
We have a couple here. But we're going to pick one, because we don't want to go too crazy. And we're going to pick one that's pretty good here for MTGO Ferret. So I will read the question. So, actually, this is funny.
Ah, Christ, I'm on the spot.
This is funny because this is actually relevant, Kevy, to the beginning of the show. So I have a viewer question for us. So I will read it now. I have to admit, I really want to hate your cast. You are both loud, obnoxious, and overbearing. That one guy never stops swearing, and every word out of his foul mouth is fuck, rape, and cunts. And you both can't keep a single thought in your heads long enough to explain it. Fuck.
I call bullshit, and Maddie wrote this himself.
No, I did not. I swear to God. No, listen. Fuck, you drive me crazy. I want to scream at my phone. Sigh. But for some reason, I have listened to all 70 episodes. Why are you putting subliminal signals into the cast to hypnotize us? By Silver Sable 87. That's a legitimate tweet, or not tweet, question. So,
KYT does it.
I think it was KYT.
Subliminal messages. KYT does it. Like, he puts subliminal messages into this shit. That's why, like, half of us that aren't Canadian think that we're Canadian at this point.
Yeah, I know I've caught you outside sucking maple trees. So I guess the thing is, I guess it's funny that we started with Chapin, which is funny because I got this question before the Chapin article came out. So that's even more funny. Why are you listening to us? I don't know. I guess we're entertaining, even though we do use foul language, but I think we use it in a funny and humorous way. Well, maybe some of us do. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, we are putting subliminal signals. That's part of why we're doing this. bye, man deprived. Bye,
I man see deprived. Now. Maddie wants to fuck your mind, and Kevy's fucking your women.
Yes.
Yay! As long as they're not. Nah, I'm gonna read.
Kevy, you're drunk enough. You don't give a fuck.
I almost just offended a bunch of people, but I'm not going.
All right, so now here's one for Ferret, because he'll probably have some good insight on this. So Michael Combe, ArtGeek73, hit me with this, and he says, "What's the best way for a new Moto Grinder to start building my collection?" Ferret, what do you think of like that? How, if you just got in, in your grind.
If you just got in, my suggestion would actually be to get started in Standard Pauper and go to pdcmagic.com and do the free events that they have. They have player-run events that are free to enter. You can learn how to play Magic. If you already know how to play Magic, then, you know, you can end up playing a couple events here or there, and you can just start building your collection little here, bit by bit, until that you can afford, like, your first standard deck that's possibly competitive, and then start grinding actual daily events and such.
So now, do you think the highest EV is in actual daily grinding, or is...
Yeah, it's definitely your daily events, because for those, you only need to 3-1 one in three events.
Now, block over standard? Because I've always heard that block
well,
is
yeah,
the
you
first
do,
thing
you
want to grind.
You're right. You start with block as far as when you start doing the daily events.
Right. All right. Well, there you go, Mike. Grind. I personally, I have a different view because I can't just sit here and grind the same deck. I found it a little boring in Scars of Myriad, and I tried to do that, and I had the Artifact Destruction deck where it was like Liquid Metal Coating Destruction, and it was pretty good. I could win a lot of decks or a lot of games, but it just got to the point where I was bored with the deck, and it kind of ruined the point of playing Magic, but I won a couple.
Oh, go ahead.
Now, my answer to this, like, the best way to, for a new Moto Grinder to start building their collection is just do what I do. Just spend a bunch of money on cards that are going to suck in 2 weeks and then get pissed off at the format and then spend a bunch more money, like, just playing drafts because you don't even want to deal with standard anymore. And then go back to standard a couple weeks later and be like, okay, I'm ready to start playing standard now. And realize that, like, your deck that you were playing before is pretty much trash. So sell all the cards that you paid a bunch of money for not very much money, and then go buy a bunch of other expensive cards.
Yeah,
and
there you go.
And then
if it's not enough.
When all the cards you just sold – come back with a vengeance and start doing really good. Sell all the other cards that you just like that you just bought, and then go play draft some more.
Okay,
and
so
end
I,
up a broke bastard.
So I will just say you could do what he said, or you could do the exact opposite of what he said.
Yeah, basically, okay. Don't do what I did.
The reason I was saying the player run events is because it's like your Friday night Magics. Okay. That's where you still get to have community. Because that's the number one thing that I've heard people bitch about MTGO is that there's no community going on. It's not like playing in person that you don't get to know the people. And the thing about the player-run events is it's actually a much more social environment than like your daily events.
I agree. Now, what do you think about
these? I've never actually heard of those player-run events, and that's kind of cool. I wish I had known about that a while back. Maybe I wouldn't have hated Moto so much when I started.
Well, there you go. Now, what do you think about Lee Sharp tweeting all those questions about Thursday Night Magic and this bullshit here?
What is this?
Well, apparently...
He just started doing this.
He's asking
tonight
for feedback on, you know, what do you think? Now, I've never played Thursday Night Magic, and I don't even know what it is. Like, I think they have this giant disconnect. Yeah, well, they have a giant disconnect of, like, communicating on MTGO, because they don't. Like, why don't they, it makes me want to just scream, like, the paper product is handled from a marketing perspective so well. You know, Friday night, go play with your buddies. But there's no, like, thing on the website or tweeted or something like, hey, Friday Night Magic on MTGO, we're giving you away this awesome thing. Like, there's no incentive to play these because I just go in there a daily anyways. Like, I wish they would just up the prizes or, I don't know, get people into the damn events by giving us stuff. They don't give us enough. I think, especially with MTGO, they could give things that cost them zero.
Okay, from my understanding is, okay, like, Friday Night Magic, I mean, like, you know, they're tournaments to an extent, but, like, I mean, it's casual. Not casual, but, like, it's laid back, and it's in order to get people, you know, give them a place and a time to get together to play Magic instead of like a bunch of random ass people that play Magic in this town, to go, you know, try to figure it out on their own. They're like, oh, hey, we'll just do it Friday nights. That way everybody is planning on Friday night. They're all going to get together. And so you go play a tournament, but you get to be around those people. And like you said, there's the social aspect of it.
Now, hold on. Now, wait. The question is this. Have you ever played Friday Night Magic in paper?
I have not been able to. I've never actually played a Friday Night Magic. My local game store just recently, within what I would say about a month and a half, 2 months ago, started doing FNMs. And so, like, I have, you know, I have my son on Friday nights.
But you would, right?
I've been able to go down there a couple times. You know, I can't play or anything because I have my son. Go down there a couple times, and yeah, I would go down and play.
Wait. Now the follow up is: have you ever played Friday Night Magic online?
No.
You mean Tuesday Night Magic or Thursday Night Magic?
Thursday Night Magic, yeah, no.
Right, neither have I, because it's, like, not promoted. Like, I don't even know what the fuck it is.
Not even that, though,
Maddie, is that you're trying to compare Thursday Night Magic. I'm going to say the same damn thing I said to Todd Anderson on Twitter, okay? You're bitching about, basically, that you have a Model Fiesta in front of you, and it's not a Ferrari, okay? This isn't for the people who want the big events and,
they want
flashy prizes and stuff like that. This is supposed to be your entry level, have fun, enjoy the game and get your small prize for it.
This is what I'm getting at is the fact that, like, you have Friday Night Magic where you have that, like, it's to get you guys together. It's to get everybody together, like, you know, get it, you know, you got to have some sort of incentive for people to go. You got to have a prize to it. Like, if it was just like, if Friday Night Magic was just like, hey, everybody plan on being here Friday night so you guys can all figure out your own shit and play
casual games.
Well,
that's what the promos are.
I mean, what I'm saying is if, you know, Friday Night Magic, you go out and you get to meet the people in your community that play Magic in paper, you know, get to meet the people that you're playing with and socialize with them, you know, come up with your own social connections. You're like, you know what, this guy smells weird and he sits in the corner and he's usually got like his fingers in his mouth and his hand on his dick. Like, I don't want to be a part of that guy. But all these other guys, you know, they seem pretty cool. You know, they're all into Magic. I didn't even know these motherfuckers live fucking two blocks from me and play Magic. You know, start your own social connections that way. That's kind of what FNM is all about. It's not a fucking, serious tournament. But then when you go to Moto, like, to try to do, like, a Thursday Night Magic, like, our own version of Friday Night Magic, like, everybody that plays on Moto goes on whenever the fuck they feel like it and plays games because that's part of the appeal of Moto. Now, if you want to have, like, if you want to generate, like, you know, for newer players especially, if you want to generate, like, social interaction on Moto, we've been through this before. You need to have a way for it to, like, rather than having a fucked up chat bar on the side where you can
I gotta stop you. It has to be more than that. It's not about that. Do you think... And here's the thing. Do you want, as a casual player, because I get it, Thursday night's not for the pros, it's for me, and it's for Kevy, it's for guys who want to play. What would get you to play? Because I don't want to go spend 14 tickets to enter, right? And let's say it's a standard version.
Maddie,
that's the thing. It's only supposed to be 2 tickets, and they just raised it to 5.
Okay, no, so it should
because
be
people
free.
Were bitching that there wasn't good enough prizes.
It should be free, right?
Are Friday Night Magic's free? Like, you gotta go in and fucking, you know, pay to fucking play.
I thought Friday Night Magic was free.
Yeah, Friday Night Magic is free, Kevin. I played it one.
Oh, shit.
you pay for your packs. Well, which I don't mind paying for my packs, but I don't want to pay extra.
Well, yeah, right? No, I'm not saying, like, have to, okay. I get where you're going with that.
But what I was gonna say is this, like, there should be for the people, if it's for casuals, I might not win any packs, so it would be nice if they gave me a promo card or they gave me a ticket to Cube. Like, I think they could give you a small little thing where they could probably quadruple the amount of people playing Thursday Night Magic because there was a little incentive to play.
I thought Thursday Night Magic did give a promo, though, just the non-foil version for participating.
I don't believe it's just for participating. I thought you had to win it.
No, I thought you get. I thought you get the foil one for winning.
None of us are actually
informed. We're so fucking pathetic. Yeah. We don't even.
We've got our fingers in your butts.
Yeah, sorry, people. Okay, so you know what? We're gonna just dump this topic because we don't know what the fuck we're talking about. So we're out of this. Okay, so the last question. This one's interesting. So Travis Hall, our buddy, the Squirrel Master. Yeah,
I want to see the squirrel and the ferret fight.
That would be really good. But anyway, so we're going to ask this question first. So, like sports, should MTG require a post-game handshake for sportsmanship? I got to be honest with you. I mean,
why not?
To make people? Yeah, but that's forcing them? Require. So you have to shake the person's hand? Fuck, who cares? It's a game. Like, If you want to be an ass and not shake my hand, I don't give a shit. That doesn't matter. Right? It's up to my personal playability. Do I shake everyone's hand? Sure. Unless it's a sweaty guy with his hand down his pants, then I'd be like, hey, man, you know what? For germs.
Just mouth hand on his dick.
Yeah, that guy, I don't want to shake his fucking hand.
No, okay, so you have to shake hands at Friday Night Magic and at, like, fucking, like, qualifying tournaments. But you have to shake hands in Little League, but, like, college baseball players and fucking, like, pro baseball players don't have to do the handshake. So there's the answer. You have to shake hands at F&M, but you, like, after you get past that,
crazy.
You don't have
to. Are you serious? I could see it in the pro tour on coverage match. Well, sure. Okay, you're kidding. You fucking ass.
Kevin.
Yes.
Read what I just put in Skype for you.
God damn it.
Additional price. No, you gotta read this out loud so our viewers can hear it.
I can't even read
it. Listen,
you can't read it.
Because he's got like three drinks in him. Okay, actually, this will be funny. Go.
Exactly.
I'm gonna read this out loud before I've even read it, so hopefully this doesn't end bad. Additional prize. Wait, did I go up far enough?
No, yes, that is exactly where you wanna start. Additional prizes.
God damn it. Okay, I gotta find it again. There we go. Additional prizes in all capital letters, by the way. Colon. Each player who
says the fucking colon.
Each player
who wants to play with your colon.
Yeah.
What a play. Okay, go.
No, you guys are horsing around. You guys have all your fun.
Sorry, man. It's too good.
Additional prizes, colon. Each player who participates in Thursday Night Magic online event will receive the current month's promo card. Each player with 9 points will also receive a premium foil version of that card. Please check the Magic Online group page or the Friday Night Magic page for the current month's promo card. Oh, wait. I gotta go down. Eat it, bitches!
There you go. So Mr. Ferret had to shove in our face and basically say that there is a promo card. There you go. So that's why we have him on. So anyways, Travis, your handshake question, I don't know. Sure. No, it doesn't matter. Who gives a shit? Who cares? It's just a handshake. Like, come on, guys. Like, I don't know. Whatever.
So okay. Here's my honest answer to that. Like, I mean, I get where he's like going with for feature matches and stuff to show like sportsmanship and that's fine. I get that. I get where you're coming from. But at the same time, it is what it is. Like, if you can't handle like people not all hugging and being friends at the end of everything, then like you were probably too sheltered as a child.
Yeah,
like,
and you know what? Remember back in one of our first episodes, the problem with MTG is it's all a big hug it out fest. I'd actually like to see a villain. In fact, I'd like to see a guy lose a feature match, throw the freaking, you know, the guy's cards back at him and spit at him.
No, it's
like, holy shit, that guy's badass.
Nick,
you know, that suspension might be worth it.
Like, I'm just saying, like, I'm not condoning spitting at people, but it's just like, to see some actual passion. Like, I'd like to see a guy get really angry that he threw a match. Instead of like,
get over and fucking go shake your hand and you pull your dick out of your pants and put it in his hand. Like, as much as I don't want
to. No, Kevin, I think he's more saying he wants to see an actual table flip.
I actually would love to see a table flip, man. I would love to see Owen Turnwall flip a table. I would make my day.
Oh, dude, it would be awesome. Like, for people like us, we'd lose our shit, and that would, like, if Owen Tweedenwald fucking, like, just shoved a fucking table over, grabbed his nuts, and shook him at his fucking opponent, like, just fucking, like, completely just half-assing a win and fucking taking it. Like, it's like, all right, dude, fucking that guy, I love him. He's my
fucking... Okay, Kevin, what the fuck are you waiting for? Why have somebody else do it? You're the man.
He is.
You're
Water
the guy
Masters.
We expect to do this.
Masters is coming, my friend.
Like, okay, well, okay, granted, you...
Matt, you have to record it in Vegas.
You have...
Dude, Wait. Just so everyone knows, I will have multiple cameras running at all times.
Exactly.
Told you it's going to be like a reality show. Which will
it will be.
But no, see, the problem is... you've never actually had the fucking privilege of playing with me online, so you don't know what I am as a Magic player. I am awful at this game.
He's so lying. He's amazing.
Matty has seen this before. Like, I am
player,
and I am, like, the chances of me being on a feature match, the only way I'm getting on a feature match is if I walk in the door, and they're just all, oh man, this will be funny. And then they grab, like, if I happen to get paired against somebody good and they're like, oh, sweet, he got paired against somebody good, so we have an excuse to put him on camera. This is going to be fucking hilarious. Look at that guy. I guarantee you he hasn't fucking showered. He's still drunk. Like, this will be great. And then they're going to put me on camera with some random ass fucking pro who, like, I'm playing in like round 3 or 4 or 5 or whatever, now, because I just stumbled through it.
Kevin's lying. He's actually an idiot savant at Magic. He's actually so good that he would make people look stupid.
What it comes down to is if I would give up the drinking, then I would probably be an amazing Magic player, but I refuse to.
So what you're saying is you'll get on camera because two people will be playing and you'll stumble through the ropes into the feature match and knock the table over.
Yep. Start threatening fools. I'm just all, hey, you're doing it wrong. Yeah, oh, just get up. Just scoot over. Scoot over. I got this. Don't worry about it. What are you playing? I don't even care. I don't even like Modern. Fuck this. Fuck Modern.
See Sheldon Mennery run through and give you a flying forearm to the head. Get out of my freaking feature match.
Nah, dude, I got this. I'm going to have to break into a feature match at GP Vegas.
All right,
moving on.
Okay, so I guess... I guess that kind of wraps up, shit, I got it.
Want to be derfed.
Well, yes. So,
thank you for keeping us on track.
I know, without fair, yes, we'd be all over. So obviously I got my new avatar, Derf, thank you very much, it was really badass. So in, kind of...
That was Derfington?
Yeah, man, Derf, man. So Derf.
He's the man.
He is, so in celebration of avatars, because I'm so excited, I kind of want to give back to the fans. So the Heavy Metal Corporation has decided to graciously allow us to hold a contest, and we're calling it Want to be Derfed. So they are announcing the new you for a new year avatar makeover. Heavy Metal has teamed up with one of the all-time great artists known as Derfington to give back to the fans of the show. So here's how it's going to work. On January 1st, 2013, the board members of Heavy Metal Inc., including me and Kevy, will meet in a secret grotto to discuss what fan of the show has been the most loyal, engaged, and most deserving of this great honor. We will then lock Derf in a cell till he completes your avatar commission. We then tag.
And it's not like it's not a clean cell. Like this hasn't been approved. It hasn't been approved by like
all the money.
Know, the Department of Corrections or anything. Like this is our own cell. It's kind of like that pen that I'm gonna have in Vegas for all of mine and Kibler's women.
Yeah, well, neither will be OSHA compliant.
We based it off that. So I mean, of course, we're gonna we're not gonna harm him. We're gonna tag him and release him back into his natural habitat of Canada. And frolic back in the woods and suck maple syrup from the trees. So the question is, what can you do to be granted this great honor? Simple. Comment. Interact with us on Twitter, and above all, spread the Heavy Metal word to your friends, coworkers, and hell, just shout it out to strangers on the subway for all we care. But the idea...
Oh, dude, I tell you what. If anybody takes and goes in a subway and starts spewing it off about Heavy Metal and records it, they'll probably automatically win.
Probably auto-win, yeah. Until that comes up, and then that raises the bar, and then all of a sudden we've got a whole new standard to play at. It's like everybody's going to have to really jump on and give their best if you want to win this. Because, I mean, shit, look how beautiful me and Maddie look in our avatars. You want that for yourself?
It is so different from real life. But
yeah. We don't actually look like that at all. Like, I have blonde hair, blue eyes, and a red goatee. Like, I...
What's your fucking Care Bear?
He's a blonde ginger. Oh, man. So, anyways, the truth is, people, we're going to give this back to you. Derf's all on board. Everyone is very excited. And, we just want to make sure that we thank you guys properly. So, you show us how badass you are. You can, if you want to send us videos, even better. We'll post it on Man Enterprise, and it will be hilarious. So,
if they're wieners, then they send those to Studios.
No. You send those straight to KYT.
Yeah, all the dick pics just send him to KYT because he's part of the fucking board of trustees.
He'll put them all on Google Plus for everyone to look at. So I guess that is almost the show. I will quickly talk about one thing. Just after the last episode, I got my foils from the proxy guy, which I put some pics up on Twitter and on G+, and they are pretty fucking awesome. They are very shiny. They are very cool looking. And they are a little dark, I will say. So they are gorgeous, though. I mean, like, in the light, they are just – they're freaking awesome looking. I mean, they do. They do look really cool. I don't specifically know how they're – how they're made so awesome, but you never know. We might bring him on. He may tell us. But I'll just say they're awesome. I love them. My cube went from being nothing to totally badass. So, again, Pricey Guy, you are badass. You are awesome. Shout outs, which will lead us straight into
shout outs. I mean, you started them. You might as well finish them off.
Yeah, I might as well do my 9 shout outs now every episode. So basically, obviously, Durf, you got your shout out, you got your whole freaking contest, for Christ's sakes, named after you. And so I promised a bunch of people, you know, I'd start, if they, commented or joined or I followed them, I'm gonna shout them out. So here we go. Alexei Sakoff, Beardy Plays. He, runs a pretty cool Commander stream. He's a wicked guy. Trevor Geddon. He is an actual new fan, and he wrote me a cool little DM about how much he's been following the show and how much he likes us, Kevy, and he loves the show, man. So I was like, dude, for that DM, you get yourself a fucking shout-out. Walk the Plains, Nathan, I'm giving you a shout-out because I watched every fucking episode during the GP Toronto. They threw them on every 20 minutes, and it was totally badass. So I was laughing my ass off. I thought they were awesome. Spruik, DJ, he gave me a shout-out, man, on the end of his episode, so... Spruik, we can't forget about you. Shout out to you, my friend. So there you go. Oh, and of course, poor Norbs. Hey, he's a jealous motherfucker, and he was getting sad. He's like, I never get any shout outs.
So. I never get shout outs.
He's like, it's always that robot, never me. So
it's because he always takes our fucking cards, man.
I knew it. So, well, I'm giving it, Norbert. Shout outs for you.
We've actually made Norbert out, like, not that this is in any way, shape, or form him, but we've actually kind of made Norbert into this weird card hoarding EDH cube player that just sits in the corner until he can get a hold of your cards and then take them. And like, I don't think I've ever actually given Norbert any cards, but our listeners are starting to think of Norbert as some sort of card hoarding fiend.
He is, man. I don't know what something's going on with him, but something's going down. So I'll just, my last shout out is going to be to two quick guys. So obviously Kelly Huberman, the caveman, he's man, I chat to the guy all the time on Twitter, so shout out to you, buddy. And last one goes to Dave Estelles. He's Dave Estelles, or Dave Stills MTG. He just got a new job at a new game company. And congrats, man. That's awesome.
I like that guy. I talk to him on Twitter a lot, and I'm jumping in on that shout-out.
Jump in, man.
Cool.
So what's your shout-out, Kevin?
No, I meant I'm just jumping in on that one. Are you done?
Oh, sir, I thought you were jumping in on the threesome, buddy. All right, so are we letting Ferret go first because he's a guest? Or
fuck the Ferret.
All right, fuck it. Man. He can wait.
Real quick, I'm gonna throw mine out and let him finish it off. Like real quick, you know, both of you two for doing this. Like, I love doing this every week. I have a blast. Ferret, thanks for being awesome and actually coming in and running this shit like it should be run, because we tend to we tend to just bullshit a lot and go off on our tangents. And it's great when
you're gonna actually be under 2 hours this time.
Yeah, no shit. Well, that's because we're one guest short of the last time you did this. So there's just that much talking less. But no, like, when a guest comes in and says, like, hey, all right, move on to the next subject.
You kind of have to do it.
That's how you know we talk way too fucking much. Shout out to Vodka. Shout out to Matt. I'm going to go with a shout out to – what is it? Mike Ringer, I think, because we always shout out Robot Large. And then I shouted out Roboto Grande, but I think his name's Mike Ringer. So I'm going to go ahead and change it up and shout out to him.
You can't blow his fucking cover. That's like fucking someone going on saying his shit.
It's on Twitter, man.
Yeah, you can't do that. That's like someone going on saying, hey, Bruce Wayne, nice knowing you're Batman. You just fucking blew his secret identity, dude.
No. That motherfucker, like, trust me, that motherfucker's got more secret identities than...
So Mike Ringer isn't his real name. Yeah,
you people have any... No, that's his, like, real name on Twitter, which, I mean, doesn't mean shit.
It's another alias.
Yeah, it's just another alias. So, as always, he gets my last fucking shout out. And on to the Ferret.
All right, my shout outs are actually pretty easy this week. Obviously, shouting out to you two guys for having me here. Shouting out to Mana Deprived, because apparently they had a badass party and plenty of entertainment on Twitter, at the very least, this last week. there's actually another one, Humble Bundle. Okay.
Yes.
By the time that everybody's going to be able to hear this cast, it'll be too late for you to get in on it, but go ahead, check out the site. They do awesome things. It's mainly, they do it for two charities. Child's Play and Red Cross, I think was the other one, Maddie.
Yep.
And you can get it's really cool stuff that they do. Like right now, they have a THQ bundle, which has made $4.3 million for these charities, I believe.
Wow.
Crazy. Yeah.
Shit, that's a lot of fucking money.
Oh, yeah. Well, get this, though. The thing is that you get, I think, what was it, 8 games or something like that, along with their soundtracks for doing this on Steam.
Yeah, and, for your donation.
For a donation. Nice. And the donation, if it's a minimum of $1, then you get like 5 of the games or something like that, along with the soundtracks. But totally if you awesome. Do what the average donation is, which I think at this point is $5.75 or something, then you get all 8. And it's $230 wow. worth of software.
So 8 games for frickin'... No, $200 worth of games for $5. Can't go wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, no shit.
So I'm totally doing that. So.
And apparently this is something that they've been doing for a while. They usually did it with like indie game and stuff like that. But
that's awesome, man. Like I have to give credit to anybody like that's out there doing shit for charity. I know that might sound kind of fucking, like a blanket statement and kind of lame, but like anybody that goes out. Excuse me. And just like, and puts their time forward for a fucking worthy charity and, you know, puts their money, their effort, their time, whatever it might be. Like, that's just something that's always hit home for me. Doing shit for other people without, like, you know, having a bunch of credit for it. Like, you know, I know plenty of people in my life that go out and they do things, how do I put this? Basically, they go out and do things to make themselves look better. Like, it might look like they're doing shit for other people, yep. like, you know, but to make themselves look better. But, like, just charities in general, man, that it blows me away that, like, as many assholes as there are on this fucking planet, there are just as many good fucking people that selflessly just do things for other people. And that's
want
perfect.
The credit.
Yeah, they don't want the fucking credit for it. You know, like they just go out and they do that. Or even if they get a little bit of credit, they're like, look, you know, we're putting, for example, you know, hey, we're letting you have this much product for fucking nothing, just as long as you're putting it towards, you know, something that means something. So
totally.
I appreciate that. So I'm jumping on that shout out too, because that's what we do on this show is just, you know,
interrupt. It's all good. No, like I said, these guys are doing something that's so different from pretty much what any other company has been doing.
Right.
So, you know.
And it sounds like a great deal. Like, even if it wasn't for charity, if they just said, hey, man, you want $200 a game for $8 or $5, I'd be like, yeah, I want that deal. Like, so, dude, even if you hate charities, just do it for the deal.
Yeah, I mean, even if you're just a greedy fuck and you just want to be able to go, oh, yeah, man, I got it for $6, all of this cool shit. Well, go ahead, be greedy.
Yeah, you guys are assholes.
Christmas. You did your charity. That way, when you're sitting there going through the doors at your local Walmart and that bell ringer's, you know, shaking that shit in your face, I already did my charity this year.
Yeah,
fuck
I already gave this year, bitch. Fuck off.
Back off, Santa. I got my deals.
I'm sorry. I would give a hell of a lot more to Salvation Army if they didn't have that fucking bell.
Oh,
I hate it. I hate it with everything I fucking have. And it's just all, hey, donate, hey, that's all I hear every fucking time. And I would give a whole lot more money to them if they didn't have that fucking bell.
So you're saying if they had a guy in a guitar just playing smooth grooves, you'd be like, here's $20.
No, if they had a guy that's just like, hey man, you want to give to the fucking Salvation Army? I'd be like, all right, well, hit me up on the way out of the store. Like, I, you know, yeah, probably. And I hit him up on, you know, I come out of the store. He's just like, hey man, you said when you went in, did you want to donate? If not, that's cool. That's fine. I'm like, all right. Oh, here you go. Here's $10, man. But like when there, it's just ding, 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 ding. I just want to fucking cut him with that bell. Just take their fucking throat out and take the money and run. So,
oh, there's so much money to go on.
Oh my goodness, my friend. I tell you, Santa right now is just looking at you, shaking your head, man. He's like, oh, God, that guy.
Santa Claus, yeah. Yeah, try coming down my chimney.
Exactly.
Try coming down to my chimney, you know, and see what happens, you fat bastard.
I can see it now. The only reason Kevy gets so many presents each year from Santa is because he doesn't actually do what he thinks.
No, the reason I get so many presents from Santa every year is because I threaten him.
Yeah, I'm going to kill you and all your elves.
I can just see Rudolph going, dude, we didn't visit Kevin yet. Go, 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 go.
No, yeah, that's actually...
I don't want to become Stu.
Actually, no, Rudolph is an avid heavy metal listener, and that's why, like, he always has to stop by here.
He's got to check you, Ace Widow, man. I brought the fat man in the red suit.
Oh, can we go by Kevin Metal's house? Can we go by Kevin Metal's house? Yeah. And I was like, fine, fuck it. Like, every time we go by there, that guy's an asshole.
Oh, my God. All right, guys, we are wrapping this sucker up.
I think that
marks
the end of the episode when I'm threatening to kill Salvation Army people with their fucking bills and Santa stopping by my house. Yeah.
Now, there is one. Wait, we got to shout out two last guys, man. Manabase.
I love that guy.
We can't forget Manabase because he's awesome.
That dude's cool as shit.
Yeah, and he gave me shit for not being at the party, but shit, I gave you a shout out, so come on, man.
Is he coming to the heavy meta party in Vegas?
I don't know. You gotta hit that bastard up on Twitter, man.
You're not allowed to give us shit for not being at the fucking meta
party. Yeah, if you don't come to ours, motherfucker.
I'm coming to the heavy meta party in Vegas.
Alright, everybody, that wraps up episode 8. We are out of here.
Go fuck yourselves, San Diego.
Let's start.
All right.
We got all this good shit we're just wasting on these pre-show shit. All right, Kevin.
You know what you gotta start doing is you just fucking record when we're talking the shit anyway. You just edit it in wherever you want.
I can. I've tried it. It doesn't work. It sounds like a big gibberly cardouche. Go listen to the beta, then you'll see what it's like. Actually, our beta was actually really good. Okay.
It was good content, but it was terrible.
No, it wasn't that bad. fuck rape.
Okay. Oh, God, yeah, dude.
All right.
Getting on that later.
Yeah.
Well, we'll start the show with it, because it'll be Hot Topic, man. All right,
oh,
Kevin.
God, yeah, I can see us yelling back and forth, and Kevin going, what the fuck are you two talking about, the same article?
Are you kidding? Kevin's going to have the best thing, because he swears, so it'll be... I can't wait to hear what everyone has to say. This is going to be good. All right, Kevin, count us down.
What is... Oh, shit.
You fucking neckbeard, get it right. It looks like Kevin has joined you guys. Welcome to Heavy Meta.
Yeah, he's going to do the intro because you're too fucked.
No, I got this. All right.